Let me first make it clear to you that I requested of Imam Qasim Ahmad that he do more than just introduce me. I told him that I said, you have to remember that you are a member of the leadership, you are counsel on the council imam, and you should have more than that kind of place on the program. You shouldn't just introduce me, you should have something to say. And I appreciate his words, the words of deliverance, very clearly, very forcefully. And we appreciate that very much. He is an imam that is really advancing the main purpose of this community and the good of the general society. Now, I am before you to address the need for the removal of images in religion that invite the members of the religion to worship or to address those images as deities or as gods. First, let me express a belief that is in scripture, and it is a kind of general principle, but it says something that I think will help us understand our problem, and it may be a good start for this address. We read in the Bible these words: a tree is known by the fruit it bears. Regarding these images in religion, especially the crucifix, I believe that what I'm about to mention to you is the product of that tree. There is now a movement headed by a man who was once a member in the Nation of Islam, officially called in those days the Lost Found Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. There is a man who now heads the religious organization, our religion. In fact, he heads the religion. He has formed his own religion. And he has also formed his own Bible. His Bible is called the Black Bible. It's not a cheap effort. He spent some money to put it together and to have it printed. The pictures you find in that Bible are mostly pictures of black people. And Satan in that Bible is pictured or depicted as a white man. The scene of Adam and Eve in the garden shows Adam and Eve black, and the serpent, representing the whisper of the devil, is a white man. This is without any question black reaction in religion to white man image in religion. If that's one of the fruits of the crucifix, then we have to acknowledge as right-minded, sensible people that that is a bad fruit. We hope to establish our reason for insisting upon the removal of all images in religion. And that is our first reason. That it produces reaction in the conscience of people that don't identify racially with the image, that are bad for society, and that represents only the furtherance of that kind of confusion and corruption. We have not adapted Christianity. We respect Christianity with sacred respect. We are not attacking Jesus, feet beyond him. We respect Jesus Christ with sacred respect. Let us continue. And now I would like to go to the positive side of the crucifix. That is to say, that it has its good influence as well. And we as intelligent people should be able to win its good influence or its good utility with its bad influences, if you agree with us, and its harmful utility, and make a decision as to whether it is acceptable to leave the image in society or to remove it. Another reason we have for the removal, for insisting upon the removal of all images in religion, is that the crucifix, while it's true that it does have some benefit in terms of the kind of catharsis or a kind of purging a wrong-mindedness on the part of people that it offers or that it holds, it has some benefits. When we look at a human being, our human form, physically nailed to a cross, and we're told that that person was a good person, that that person had no malice, no ill will, that that person was well-natured and meant well to everybody. It does draw our sympathies toward him. And when our sympathies are drawn toward a good thing, it does have the effect of awakening our good nature and our good conscience. So that's the good side of it. That's the good side of it. But in spite of it having that kind of influence to provoke the movement of fear, good sentiment, moral sentiment, compassion, etc., in the one who looks upon it, for races that cannot identify with it racially, it has a reverse effect. It has very negative effects. And not only for races that can identify with it, even for those who identify with it, simply because it's in their image, it has a reverse effect. It has a negative effect. Now, people, there is an understanding in psychology that the human conscience can be transported and detached and lose all identity with the concern that it previously belonged to. If you can transfer that particular consciousness and its concerns to an image. In very early times of man's cultural growth or evolution, the psychologist or the psychiatrist and the priest was all in one person. He was the magic worker, or the witch doctor, as we call him now. He took on a bad name when the sciences were evolved. The witch doctor. And the witch doctor, he would form an image. And he would use that image to drum up emotions, sentiments and emotions. And draw those sentiments and emotions to the image until the person become almost spellbound. In fact, many of the people he was treating would fall out. They would lose consciousness and they would fall out. Some would go into fits. But after the experience was over, most of his patients felt better, because he had detached their own consciousness from the subject of that consciousness, from the owner of that consciousness. He had detached their own concerns from the owner of those concerns, from the owner of those concerns. And he had made it possible for them to experience their own existence in the image, rather than in themselves. And I tell you, with scientific proof, I tell you that that's what has happened to many non-Caucasian people all over the world, where that image has been established, where that image has been accepted, of a white man, or of a European-looking man, or of a European-Jewish-looking man, on a cross. They have been successful through who am I talking about? I'm talking about people who saw this utility in the crucifix. People who didn't mean well. People who wanted to capture the productive forces of other people for their own selfish purposes. People who wanted to empty out the concern for the individual's life and attach it to an image so that they could drive those individuals to inhuman extremes, to inhuman conditions, suppress them with inhuman circumstances, inhuman burdens, and they would find it possible to survive and be happy all the time, every day, because their reality was no longer in themselves, their reality was in the image. Now, let me see if I can explain this in a different way. You know, you can experience a thing
actually, and you can experience a thing through the medium of fantasy. You can experience a thing factually, and you can experience a thing vicariously. By vicariously, we mean that you have become so absorbed in the thing that you are beholding that you experience now what that thing is experiencing. So I can be enjoying music, and you can become so absorbed in watching me enjoy music that you become me. And now you're enjoying music, just as I'm enjoying music. And you're enjoying the music through me. And your situation is not my situation. I'm free to enjoy music. They have you handcuffed. They have your feet shackled. They have your mouth muzzled. But you see me, and you are doing the same thing I'm doing with your hands shackled, your feet shackled, your mouth muzzled. But you are doing the same thing I'm doing. In your soul, inside, you are bouncing with me. You're doing everything I'm doing. You're doing everything I'm doing. But you're not doing it factually, you're doing it vicariously. Now, let us go on to explain what we're talking about. So in psychology, this is called transference, where the person's own reality has been transferred to something else. Now, suffering people will identify with a suffering image, or with an image that represents the sufferer. It's easy to get them suffering, to identify with an image that represents the sufferer. So no matter what color he is, no matter what ethnic image he has, if you see suffering, the human being is more a spiritual creature than he is a physical creature. So if they can show you that spiritually you are the same, he is a spiritual sufferer. You are a spiritual sufferer. His free spirit is oppressed. Yours too. He has been wronged in the world. You too. He has been denied the freedom of movement. His hands are nailed. Yours too. He has been denied the freedom of progress. His feet are nailed. Rick, yours too.
Break it down, brother.
He has had his heart injured. His heart is bleeding, but he can't do anything about it. Yours too. If they can make a picture that identifies very closely with your own reality, then it's easy to transfer your reality to that image. And then you can stay in the shit house. You can stay in the dungeon. You can stay in ignorance. And you can find satisfaction through the image. Now, excuse my language. Occasionally, I will say that they got me. Excuse my language. Now, if we have been able to come that far and see what we are talking about and understand what we are talking about, I say we are on the way to removing these images. Because once any intelligent-minded, free-thinking person sees this reality, he has to commit himself for life to get rid of that image. We're still on the second reason. The second reason is a psychological reason. The second reason is this thing that it does to our psychology that robs us of attachment with our own reality. Now, if I'm correct, then what does this explain? The lack of motivation in the black mind, the lack of community aggressiveness on the part of the black community. Won't this explain the lack of stability on the part of the black community? And won't this also explain the division and the lack of unity on the part of the black community? And not only on the part of the black community, but on the part of the Hispanic community, and on the part of every other community that hasn't been able to identify with the image in its ethnicity, in its physical reality. Now let's look at what the kind of message that comes from that image to the white man. To the white man, he sees a suffering too. And if he's suffering, he identifies with the suffering Jesus also. But he has something that you don't have. He knows that that Jesus is also called law. And he knows that you ain't no law. And he knows that in the world situation that he lives in, the white man is false. And that white image on the cross is called law. So in his subconscious, or through his conscience, he is satisfied with that identity in a way that you can never be satisfied. You're satisfied with it because he was good man, and he suffered too. But God redeemed him and took him up into heaven. So you find satisfaction in that way. But I too, because I now have become the image of the world. I too have hope. The Lord that redeemed the image will redeem me one day. And I too will have a place of glory and dignity in the afterworld. So I'm going to challenge that idea. Because our Holy Book says, get with all the means you have at your fingertips. Work for the afterlife, the afterworld. But don't forget your share in this world.
Right. Stop.
That's what our Holy Book says. That's what our Holy Book says. So it's not a Muslim. You know, if a Muslim knows his religion, he won't be able to accept the message of the cross. Because he can't wait for the hereafter to get his due respect, his due recognition, his due share in the possession and in the authority of this one. And that he knows that God has obligated him to earn his ticket into the next on the strength of what he has done in this one.
Right.
And if he hasn't demonstrated the capacity for ownership, the capacity for leadership, right, the capacity for sharing the control of material things on this earth, then he hasn't earned much as a ticket into the next world.
Right.